Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Today you get a substitute preacher. Pastor Sarah has what we think is just hopefully a 24-hour buck. I want to talk about the implications for our life of this Epiphany theme that we see in the lessons in the gospel of proclaiming the good news of God's love and what that has to say to the current state of all of God's church. Jesus, we are told, has begun to gather his disciples and begun preaching here in Galilee and calling people to say to them, you will fish for people from now on. And he gathers quite a following, and he goes throughout the whole area preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This past week, beginning with the feast of the Confession of Peter, which is the 18th, and ending with the conversion of St. Paul, we have what has become known as the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And in many places, today is known as not only the third Sunday after the Epiphany, but as Ecumenical Sunday, when we pray and remember the unity that we have in Christ and pray for the revealing of that unity. That kind of concern is not new. If we look at St. Paul when he writes to the Corinthians, he says, you guys have all kinds of divisions between you. This is not the way it should be. And he quotes to them what he's heard. They say, I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos, better preacher. I belong to Cephas. He's the original. I belong to Christ. Ha, I got one on all of you. And he says, well, was Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? There was this misunderstanding that the person who did the baptism of that became the person they belonged to. And that's a little bit hard for us to wrap our heads around that, I suppose. Except that from time to time, not infrequently, I hear, well, I was baptized an Episcopalian. I was baptized a Methodist. I was baptized a Catholic. Same deal. In truth, we are baptized into the body of Christ, of which each one of our large and small brands is but the local franchise. We are baptized into Christ. We belong to Christ. That's it. It's to Christ that we answer. So the divisions in the church are not all that new, even as recently as to the events of the ministry of Jesus as the 50s, AD 54 or so, they're already having trouble. Sometimes we think that the church in the New Testament was just perfect, and if we could just go back to that. We forget that they were made up of the same stuff that our church today is made. People. As my college roommate used to say, the church would be great if it weren't for the people. Christian unity has been such an
such an elusive thing.
All along, and not just because of denominations, though they certainly play a role in that. We have a hard time seeing beyond the way we do things and the way we see things, which we often mistake for the way things they ought to be. And forget that all of them are but our feeble attempts to express the mind of Christ. All of them are the many varied ways in which we proclaim the gospel. Allow me a moment of denominational pride here. In the Episcopal Church, we don't pray. Isn't that interesting? We don't pray. I thought you might miss the irony. In our prayer book, we don't pray for the Episcopal Church when we start. At the 8 o'clock service, we say we let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. In the prayer we use at this service and the prayers of the people. Fudge a little. We pray to you, Lord God. But the prayer is for the peace and unity of the Church of God, which is not a denomination, though there is one called that, is the whole thing, all of God's church. We have some special prayers in there for some folks because we have made some agreements. Thanks to the work of ecumenical conversations at every level, bishops in the Commonwealth of Virginia from the Roman Catholic Diocese and the Lutheran Synods, the United Methodist Conference, and the Episcopal Church, the three dioceses of the Episcopal Church, have signed these agreements that we will pray for one another every Sunday, which is why you hear those named. Specifically, it's not to leave out the Baptist, I told my dad. He's a Baptist. It's because we have this intention and this desire to show in some way our unity and to pray for it that it might be revealed even more. It's also the case that in our prayers in the prayers of the people we pray for in this church, for the entire Anglican Communion, which is our family in God's family, that's our branch of the family. But also notice that we pray for those who have departed the communion of the Episcopal Church. Very important that we do that. Not so much because they really need it. We need it. We need to pray for those who have left the Episcopal Church, even if they might not think that we are part of God's church, some of them. Guess what? If the message of Christ and the proclamation that Paul passed on is true, no matter what we think of each other, we're still brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the one body. It's very important that we remember that. Or we will separate ourselves into oblivion. I've come to the conclusion over the years, I think I already told you this, that it's not our intellectual problems that keep us from becoming part of God's family and the church. Not to minimize them, they are real questions. We have brains and we don't check them at the door. And we have questions and concerns, and they are legitimate. But I have found over the years that what really keeps us from being part of the community is not that we haven't answered the questions. I dare say many of us here don't feel like we have either. But it's the divisions in the church, and I don't mean just denominations, but the way people treat each other. There probably isn't a pastor, a priest, in this, in any church who hasn't heard, I just can't be part of the church, it's filled with hypocrites. You say you love, then you go and do stuff. I quipped one time, and it's my mouth gets me in trouble. I quipped one time to somebody who said that to me, and he was being very serious. And I quipped, well, there's always room for one more. Fortunately, he laughed like he did. After I said it, I said, what am I doing? So after that, I changed my answer to welcome to the human race. Here's a story that my daughter Deborah and preacher's kids, priest kids, probably are more aware of these issues than anybody, but how people say one thing and do another. They have to live with their parent who is seen by everybody else as a holy person. She sent me this story. I'm going to read it to you. I was walking across a bridge one day. I know I used the story once before in an ecumenical service. I don't think I've used it here. I should write that down. I was walking across a bridge one day, and I came across a man standing on the rail about to jump. I said, stop, don't do it. Why not, he said. I said, well, there's so much to live for. He said, like what? I said, well, are you religious or atheist? He said, I am quite religious. I said, me too. Are you a Christian? He said, I am. I said, me too. Are you Catholic or Protestant? He said, Protestant. Me too. Are you Episcopalian or Baptist? He said, Baptist. I said, what a happy coincidence. So am I. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord? He said, Baptist Church of God. Amen, I said. Are you Original Baptist Church of God or are you Reformed Baptist Church of God? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God. I said, amen and amen. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1879? Or Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915. I said, die, godless heretic. And pushed him off the rail. We could make a list of this, of divisions in the Anglican Communion too, and in the Episcopal Church in particular. In fact, next Sunday I hope to do that in a forum where we will talk about our divisions. You see, this is what happens. It's how we treat each other. And how is that going to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? We who are the face of Jesus to the world, who are the heart of Jesus in this world, who are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. That's why we need to pray for the unity of the church. It's an incredible paradox. At one level, the church is one, no matter what we say to each other and what rails we push ourselves off. It is one because God made it. It is one because we're all baptized into the body of Christ. It is the power of the Spirit that has put us there with an indissoluble bond that cannot be broken. The question is, Lord, will you please reveal that unity? And it's not just about ending denominations or having hierarchical integration, all of this and that, institutional realignments and rearrangements. Some of those might be a good thing, some of them not so good. The important thing is, do we see and treat one another
as a brother, as a sister in Christ. Only when we do that will others be able to see the face of Jesus in the way we deal with each other. The mission of Christ, this good news of the kingdom of God that is so at hand, so near to us, may we live it. May we show it. That the world may come to know the love of God as well. There's a poem by Edwin Markham written, called Outwitted, that says, "He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that drew him in." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.